So we've updated our package, we've been through that life cycle, you know, we created the package, we then delivered it to our users, whether that's UAT and then production. We then had our users customizing our apps, and we've looked at the state changes, and we've roamed that with UEV. We then adapted our package for the end of year, the attendee party tonight. We then also updated the package to give it a whole new look and feel, and updated the fundamental assets. These are all key parts of the circle of life, or the life cycle of our RFV package. Another thing I just want to talk about next is the isolation. So we talked about that already, where, you know, the registry is isolated, as is the file system, and that's a great benefit. You know, it allows us to do some really clever things with RFV. But there are times where we need to connect. We need to take two or more elements and connect them together in harmony to provide a meaningful application to our end users. Let me show you what I mean back on the client. So I'm going to do a get-appv client package to see what I've got available to me. And I've actually got two packages available to me now as a user. So if I go to my client GUI, we'll see these two packages here. And what I've done is actually modularized and been more granular with the way I sequence my application. And I've delivered it in two halves. I've delivered the application itself, and I've delivered the dependency separately as a separate package. And the dependency is the skins folder, which contains the look and feel of my package. So you might be thinking, you know, why have you gone and done that? Well, a lot of customers find this really useful, is to take a more modular approach to sequencing so that these packages are now independently serviceable. We don't have to bloat every package if certain packages are present in more than one. And we can now manage the relationships of our package out there. However, there is a gotcha to this, because if I deliver my package in two separate parts and they're dependent on one another, we're opening up the doors for my package to fail. Because by default, the isolation mechanism's in place, and there's no reason for Virtual DJ to see the other half of itself that's delivered as a separate package, so it fails. So how do we get around that? How do we connect our packages? Well, we connect them using something called connection groups. From a config manager perspective, there's another terminology of virtual environments, but it's exactly the same thing. The RFV client sees them as connection groups. And what connection groups are basically a descriptor of a relationship of virtual applications. And that descriptor is formed as part of an XML. So if I open up my packages here, I'll show you what that XML looks like. It's a very simple formatted XML document, which has the name of my connection group, it has the version ID of that connection group, and a unique identifying GUID for the connection group itself. So the connection group in its own right is an asset, right? And within the packages node, we can see a list of packages that exist inside of that connection group. So this XML, as a person working with RFV, you probably wouldn't come into much contact with it if you're using Config Manager or RFV Server, because it's done in a GUI-driven format from both the server perspective and the Config Manager perspective. You know, it's more of a kind of click and drag and drop type exercise from an administration point of view. But you can do this as an admin, as a tester, if you wanted to, in a standalone form, similar to how I have here. So how do we get this XML to us? So as mentioned, delivery mechanisms will create that XML for you. And under the hood, what they'll do is they'll run an add-appv client connection group and specify the location to that XML. Simple as that. So as mentioned, you would never have to actually create that XML unless you really want to for testing purposes. Now we can see that's been registered, similar to an add of a package, the add of a connection group. And then the final thing is, similar to a publish of a package, we have to enable a connection group. So we run an enable-appv client connection group, virtual DJ-connection group, which is the name of my connection group, and I'm going to specify -global. And what that does is enable that package globally to everyone on this machine. So it's a machine-targeted operation taking place. So you'll see that now that has been published to my machine. And I should now be able to go ahead and launch my virtual DJ package. There it is. And what you'll notice from the client perspective is now both my packages are in use. And on the app connection groups tab, you see my connection group is actually in use as well. As soon as I close my application, or shortly afterwards, we'll see the connection group then closes down in terms of the virtual environment running, and the same thing for my applications. So that's defining the relationship between dependencies. A key one that we see out in the field, and I see time and time again with my customers, is Java. You know, customers want to look at not having to bundle Java into every single package, or they've got applications that are just really fussy about a very particular version of Java that they look to sequence it on a one-time basis and then manage relationships into it via connection groups. So it's a very powerful feature of App V5. So that's cool. So connections help us with connection groups to leverage the relationships between virtual application to virtual application, two or more virtual applications. But what about the bigger picture? What about when we're talking about integration? You know, we've got these applications out there, they're AppV applications, and everything's great. You know, the ones that need to talk to each other, we're managing via connection groups. But what about integrating with the wider platform, the bigger picture that's there? Our applications sit as part of a much bigger picture on the actual OS itself. How do we manage that integration? Let's take a look back on the client. So imagine, you know, my users are used to working with this application in a particular way. And this is the thing, I guess, with AppV, and this is something I talk to my customers about on a very regular basis, is because you've delivered your application as an AppV application, it doesn't mean they should use it any differently. The user still expects to use that application in the same way they always did. You know, they're not fussed whether it's an MSI or AppV, they just want to use their application. And things shouldn't have to change for them, not in a negative way anyway. So imagine my DJs are used to logging onto this machine, and they're used to opening up Paint, a local process, and go into C program files virtual DJ. And they're used to go into C program files virtual DJ to edit the skins, you know, the look and feel of that application. They like to actually take a part in that process. But they can't now, because I've delivered it as an AppV application. There's no reason why MS Paint should be able to see C program files virtual DJ. How do I get around it? So integration is a key part of the App V5 proposition. And there's integrations that take place by default, such as FTAs, shortcuts, and numerous other new integrations, such as app paths with App V5 that help that experience. But things like this won't be accounted for by default. Enter a key called run virtual, which is a registry key. And this registry key can be found under HKey local machine, software, Microsoft App V. And there it is. So this registry key allows us to identify local processes that we want to have a view into the virtual environment. And what App V will do is basically listen for that local process spawning and give it that view of that virtual application that you've asked it to. So I'm going to import a registry key. Into that location. And I'll show you what it looks like. So you see I've got mspaint.exe as the key name. And in the default value, I've put in the package GUID underscore version GUID of what I want it to have a visibility of, the package I want this local process to have visibility of. Yeah? So now, when I open up Paint, if we go to my client, in fact, we should see straight away my package is in use. You know, I haven't opened up Virtual DJ, but because of that run virtual key, the package is now in use. I could now go to open, see program files, Virtual DJ, there it is. So I can drill down into my package assets. I could open up that skin. I don't know, let's change it. Let's put something in there. So let's just customize it as we might be used to as an end user. That'll do. Save that out. I'm just going to put this into a zip. So next time my user launches their application, you'll notice once Paint closes, the application virtual environment closes down with it as well. Next time I launch Virtual DJ, we should now get the option to specify my customized skin. So this shows how you can use a local process and give it visibility of something that's virtual. Question? So the question is about being wary about putting office products into that integration point. I think you need to always exercise caution. It depends on what packages. So if you were using, if you had too many packages, for example, in a connection group that was always hooking into winword.exe, for example, you might impact things like the launch time. But other than that, there's not a lot to be that cautious about. I think the main concern would be launch times and making sure that that's a seamless experience. But I think in any respect, it's always worth testing. It is a use case that I've seen it used for, though. So I've seen the use case where Run Virtual is used where we have a native installation of Office, but we want to virtualize the plugins. Yeah. So when the Office launches, we pull in the virtualized plugins to give it visibility to the Office, which is a local process. Yeah. Question? It's a good question. Can an executable have access to more than one AppView package? The simple answer is no. And the reason for that is we can only use the default key. So in the registry, we go back. The default key only holds the value, right? But the way we can get around that is by using a connection group. So you'll notice here I've actually got two packages, right? They're a part of that virtual environment. And that's because I've specified one of the packages in here. Because that one package is in a connection group, that then allows all of the other packages to have visibility as well. Yeah? So that's a way around it. The only other caveat as well to Run Virtual is the package has to be published globally. It can't be published to the user alone. Okay, so it's sad times. We're nearing the end of the circle of life for our AppV5 package. We've gone through all of those phases and stages, and the last stage that we end up reaching, and to be honest, it's a stage that a lot of customers never end up reaching with some of their applications, but really, really want to, is termination, right? And it's about terminating that application when it's no longer fit for purpose, and we need to now bench that application and get it out of our environment. So what I'm going to do is just bring you back a few steps on our client, just to show you how we can look to roll back that application. So we've got our applications here, so it's still here. We've got our connection group. We've also got our applications themselves available. So the first thing we're going to do is repair. And the reason I'm showing you a repair again, even though I've already shown you it once, is because notice here I'm repairing the connection group. I'm repairing the connection group because once an application is delivered as part of a connection group, we lose the ability to repair it individually. Can you see here? I haven't got the button here to repair these apps individually. However, I can repair it as a connection group. So I just wanted to highlight that to you. And by default, when we remove a package either by Config Manager or the AppV server, we do still leave the user customizations in place because, you know, you might re-deliver that package tomorrow and, of course, your user will expect that it behaves in the same way. We can then disable that AppV client connection group and then finally remove it as well. And what we'll find from the client perspective is when we remove it, we now no longer have that connection group. Our application should go back to a failed state. So we still have our packages, however, still there, and they're 100% in cache if we go to program data. We'll see our package assets there sitting pretty. We can then unpublish our package to remove the integrations for either the user or the computer. So we're going to lose our shortcuts, we're going to lose our FTAs, any app paths, any shell extensions. All those things will be lost for the user. And then last but not least, if we remove our package using the remove-appv client package command, we'll wipe out the cache so the application no longer has that footprint on your client machine. Question? So So the question is, when we uninstall or remove the packages as shown, unpublish or remove, do we still keep the run virtual references? And yes, we do. They're unmanaged registry keys. So they're just simple registry keys, and they behave in the same way any other reg would, i.e. they get left in place. So it'd be really something for you to manage in your own way on top of that. So group policy preferences is a cool way probably to manage that rather than manually on the client. So that's the life cycle of our RAPV package. We went through the create phase on the sequencer where we sequenced our package and we delivered it, and we looked at the OS integration from the cache to the way it integrates into the registry and the isolation model. We talked about state change and how we can use user profile management solutions to manage that change. We looked at adapting our package for different environments using the config XML and the deployment config XML. We talked about updating our package and fundamentally changing the assets of our package. We then talked about connections and how we can create connections between more than one virtual application. We then talked about integration with Run Virtual and how we can have local processes having an insight into our virtual application. And then finally, that place where a lot of customers are trying to get to with some of their applications, we looked at termination and how clean it can be in terms of the footprint it leaves on your RAPV client. So I know we've had some questions along the way, which is the way I like to do things, but do feel free to step up to the microphones if you have additional questions, and I can field those now. So if you don't mind just stepping up to the mics and the gangways, and we can entertain those now. Yes?
I was a little confused on the config manager deployment and the connection groups. Are you saying that you cannot use the connection groups with config manager deployments?
So you most definitely can. Right, so Config Manager of 2012 SP1 has something called Virtual Environments, which is actually part of the GUI itself. And you can see that, and you can basically create very dynamic connection groups where you specify groups of apps that need to have visibility of one another. So the answer is yes, you can via Config Manager. Question on the left, I did see you step up earlier, so. So repeat the question. So the question about licensing is quite a broad one because it all depends on the application and how your applications are licensed. So I've seen some apps that literally have an XML license file that sits on the machine, or other applications have a server which they license with. So it all depends. But typically those kind of interactions can be done by scripting. So for example, say there was a license file that sits physically on the machine, you could look to clear down that license file via scripting at remove time of that application. If it's a server-based operation, there might be other techniques you can use as well. So it depends on the app.
Yes. This is a real basic question, but for people like me who are new to RAPV, how do you decide whether an application is a good candidate for virtualization or not?
So a great question there about the you know, what are good candidates for RAPV. There are things that we can't virtualize, and they're very well documented. They include drivers, so system drivers, device drivers, boot time services, and COM Plus. So those three components tend to be things that we can't virtualize. It doesn't mean we can't virtualize the application, but it might mean we have to look to deliver that driver locally, or maybe that COM Plus component of the application isn't really required. In those instances, we can still sequence the application. We used to have limits on things like sizes of the app and stuff like that, but we don't have that with 5 anymore. So, and also with SP2, we've introduced shell extension support. So, you know, like right-click shell extensions, we now support those. So there are a whole new host of applications that we do support sequencing as well. So drivers, COM Plus, and boot time services are the three things that we are out of the boundaries of RAPV. Question?
Looking at your V1 to V2 example, if you've published V1 to a user,
yes,
and they've taken your icon that you published and manage and made a copy in startup or pinned it to their system tray or anything like that, how does that react when you move to V2?
So that's a really good question, and we don't track that change, because there's no way for us to restrict where you can write a file to. You know, you could write to a file share somewhere and still try and use that file. So there's nothing that the client will do to reclaim that shortcut you've created. I think the best thing we can do is, as admins, try and deploy it to where that user would normally have it, i.e. on the start menu, etc. But that would be a consideration to have. Another thing just to mention about that shortcut is actually version agnostic. So that shortcut doesn't contain the version path. So should you have updated to a newer version, that shortcut will still be applicable for that newer version. It will just point them to the new version. So it wouldn't be a dead link.
With 4.7, I know that there was a gigabyte limit, there was a 4 gigabyte limit on
yes.
the page that you have. Because some of the applications I have are really small, some of the applications I have are really big. So the really big applications, they tend to have local. But that doesn't mean I haven't tried to virtualize them. But when I moved to AppV, I tried to virtualize an application like AutoCAD, for example. What I've seen is that the application and the sequencer actually crashes every time, no matter what kind of environment I try to build the sequencer to as well. Is there any tips you could give to me so that I could try to virtualize AutoCAD successfully?
Okay, so is this with 5.0?
Yeah.
So supported in 5.0, and I've known it to be the AutoCAD to be able to be sequenced, and I haven't actually experienced that particular issue you're talking about. It might be to do with resources on that sequencing machine that's getting exhausted, and the sequencer runs out of scratch directory, because as you're sequencing, it actually stores things in a scratch directory, which you can see in tools options in the sequencer. So it might be checking out that you've got enough space for that scratch directory to be populated along with all installation files. As I say, I've seen it sequenced before, and we haven't had that issue. Alternatively, you might look at breaking down the application into subcomponents, similar to how I've shown you with connection groups, to make it more manageable in your state in terms of size.
Thank you.
You mentioned Java. How do you handle URLs in any specific Java version, since that's not an EXE?
So the story there is going to be based on shortcuts. So there's nothing we can do to dynamically check for URLs you're visiting and pull in versions of Java. It's more a case of if we've got a particular shortcut for an application or an IE shortcut even, we can provision that IE shortcut for that user. So when they launch it, it launches with a particular version of Java.
So regarding connection groups, in your example, you had the user had access to virtual DJ and DJ skins.
Yep.
And the group was a global presentation.
Yes.
If we were to go solely with user provisioning,
yes.
Do they just need access to the connection group, or do they need access to all three components?
So the user would need access to the connection group and the applications in that connection group. If they're published to the user, then the connection group should also be published to the user. And if they're published globally, the connection group should also be a global connection group. Question?
Supported through SCCM delivery versus full infrastructure? Because I've heard that it is.
So a good question there about Active Upgrade. For those who are working with 4.6, Active Upgrade was a feature of RTSP, which basically allowed you to update the application upon double click of the icon. We actually don't have that in AppV5 at all in any shape or form. So we're using SMB and HTTP. RTSP is gone, which means so is Active Upgrade. Upgrades now only happen at either publish time, which can be triggered either by a refresh with the AppV server or via policy update with the Configuration Manager server.
So the delta change works, like, you don't have when you do an upgrade, it only downloads the deltas or whatever?
Yeah, so the delta change is still in place, and that works with Config Manager as long as it's 100% in cache. But the upgrade upon launch of the application, that is a feature that's not in AppV 5.0. Question?
When you deploy to connection groups, SCCM 2012?
Yes.
You can
do it. It depends if you target it at a machine or a user, but you can target that either or. So you can either do it a user or a computer. Yes. Everything I talked about and more is available on my blog at www.virtualvibes.co.uk. So feel free to head over there and check it out. Thank you very much, and I'll catch you around.